times that'll happen on a church service day. The devil tries to steal the word before the word ever comes out. And if you don't have the word in you, you can't live by the word because it's not inside of you. So I just would like to know, and more importantly, God would like to know, did anybody in here come in here heavy-hearted and discouraged? If that's you, if you'll stand up, I'm going to ask you to stand. I believe God's going to meet you where you're at. I'm going to ask the sound booth boys to keep eye contact with me. There's three of you back there. I'd like all three of your attention at all times in the service, and I need my music. Thank you. So if you're heavy-hearted in here this morning, if you came in here and something's bothering you, if you're discouraged, I'm going to just ask you to stand, and I'm going to wait just a moment. If you're not, that's fine. I'm glad for you. But that's not the case for everybody. Now, if you're standing, you've got a choice to make, and you're going to either turn that over, you're going to take it and turn it over and let God take that up, or you're going to decide to keep it. Now, God's walking every aisle right now. He's searching every heart right now. Every angel in heaven is at a standstill, and we're all focused on the people that are right here, right now, in this moment, and you're saying, I'm discouraged. I'm heavy-hearted. There's some things that's not going the way that they should go, and I'm upset about them, and I need God to intervene on my behalf. If it's you, begin to raise your hands right now. If you're standing or you're sitting by somebody and they're standing, I'm going to ask you to just stretch your hands towards them, because you know what? When one member of the body is hurting, we're all hurting. When one member rejoices, we all rejoice. And as you can see, not everybody in here is okay this morning. Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, you said in your word that it is not by might, that it is not by power, but it is by your spirit. And so, God, right now I ask you, Lord, send every part of everything that people need in this place. God, send it down to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, where there's been an unrest, Lord, I speak rest right now and restoration, God, all up in this place. Where there's been a lack of health, God, I thank you that health and a clean doctor's report is coming right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the finances that are coming in unexpectedly. God, I ask you right now that you would make people in one mind, in one accord, Father, for every seat. God, where there's a backslidden person and they're supposed to be up in here, Lord, I ask that you would do what only you can do, and that's begin to stir their hearts and to draw them back in the name of Jesus. God, we commit it to you right now. God, there's nobody else that can help us but you. We recognize it, and so we ask you. You said in your word that we have not because we ask not. So we ask you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this is not a part of my message, but I'm not the type of pastor that feels like I got to stick to my notes all the time. I'm free to let God do what he wants to do, and I'm free to let him say what he wants to say. And, you know, there's times where we get in our life and we're telling God, you know, God, I can't do this unless it's this, this, and this way. And I'm going to tell you something. You need to let God have his way. You need to let God have his way. And when it comes to your calling, there's things that God has called you to do, and you're saying, well, I want to do that calling, but I've got to have it be a certain way. You need to turn that over to God, because, see, God knows exactly what he wants to do with you. He knows exactly how it's going to flow for you. And the sooner that you just surrender that to him, the better that your calling is going to go. And, you know, I used to think, well, I have to have this person in order to do this, and I have to have this, and I have to have that. Dwayne, as God is my witness, God stripped everything away that I thought that I had to have. He will strip people of things to get you to see that, you know what, all you need is him. We've got to get back to that place where we recognize and we say in our heart of hearts, God, all I need is you. God, all I want is you. Lord, take everything that doesn't line up with your word. God, take everything inside of me that's offensive to you. Lord, take it out. God, cause me to be a person that lines up with your word. Amen. Go with me to Psalms chapter 23 and verse 5. And, sweetie, get me this table out here and move these two little plants and kind of get me this table right here. I like to give people an illustration because people can learn better when they can see what you're talking about. That's what I have learned about people. A lot of people are hands-on. Very few people can take just instruction by being told. But when you can show somebody, that usually helps people. Dwayne, go get me a fold-up chair. There should be a fold-up chair on that caddy. How many of everybody is enjoying the fall weather? Frank feels the need to correct me all the time. I know it's not fall, but it feels like fall. So I'm going to call it fall. Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you for being on the girl team. These are my girls right here, all four of them. She will back me. Hey, if I get up here and say we're going to have a disco ball, she'll be like, all right. We gonna do it. They went to the prom. Y'all went to the prom this year, didn't you? I think that that's awesome. You know what? You are never too old to have fun. You are never too old to learn. You are never too old for God to use you. When you look in the Bible, God used people all the time that were 100 plus years old. So, hey, don't be intimidated by anything. So we're going to look at Psalms chapter 23 and verse 5 this morning. I want to talk to you about your enemies. And you say, well, I don't have any enemies. Well, good. Pray for all of us that do. I can see I'm going to have to really work on y'all this morning. I don't know what's going on with you, but y'all seem kind of uptight. Well, just get over it. Get that smile on your face because we're going to have a good time and we're going to learn some things. Psalm chapter 23 and verse 5. There's things that God promises you about your enemies. There are things that God promises you about what you're going through. When you can know what's promised, you can know what to expect. When you can know what's promised, you can know what you can expect. If you didn't come in church in great expectation, then why did you come? When you know His promises, you can know what to expect. When you know His promises, you can know what to call down and say, you know what God promised in His Word, this, this, and this. You need to begin to speak the promises of God over your life, the parts of your life that aren't going right. There's a promise for you that it can go right, and you need to find it in His Word, and you need to begin to speak it over your life. If the world was spoken into existence, then you have the power of life and death in your tongue. And if you'll speak to the mountain and believe, there's that second part, you got to believe, that mountain will move. And I don't know what your mountain is called this morning, but God does. And I want to speak to you today about your enemies. In Psalms chapter 23, verse 5, and it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who prepares the table? Somebody tell me. God. What does the word prepare mean? Somebody tell me. To get it ready in advance. So the first thing that I want to tell you about your enemies and the thing that you're going through, you know, a lot of things that we go through, they involve other people. And so it says here in the Word, let's get this for me. I have all of my things in the NIV version. And that's what we're going to read them out of today. Psalms chapter 23, verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So, Frank, sit right here. Dwayne, get me one more chair. Now, if you're looking for a scripted service and for a perfect pastor and all that stuff, boy, let me tell you, you have missed the mark. And I will not be afraid to tell you. But if you'd like to be in a place where we're just going to keep it real and we're going to all realize we're all people, well, by golly, you have... You have won the church lottery. All right. Dad, do me a favor. Come here and sit, because if I ask anybody else to play the enemy part, they're going to get offended and tell me all about it all week long. I'm not in the mood for that. We're going to have a good week. Be quiet and have smart remarks.
You're the good guy.
Okay. Now, no talking. Dad's waited all his life to be in this situation. So I'm God for a moment. Let's say Frank is the believer, Dad is the enemy. Okay, now let me just clue you in on some things, though, okay? Your enemy can also be another believer. One of the things that you have to realize about your enemy is it doesn't matter if they're saved or unsaved, God loves them as much as he loves you. So when you're saying, God, kill him, he ain't going to do that. Why? Because he wouldn't kill you either. He loves you. So here's God. And see, here's what the Word says. Now, I did not say this. The Word said it. And if you will take the Word for everything that it is, your life will change. It has no choice. So the Word says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So what the Word is actually saying is that God, in advance, he began to prepare your table of life. He prepared it for you. He got it ready. He got the table set. Not only did he do that, but he did it right in front of your enemy. Right in front of him. What does that tell you about the Word? God wants sometimes that your enemy be close to you. He wants to draw them close to you so they can see just what your life is all about. Why? So they can see that, you know what? God's going to bless you no matter what. Not only is he going to bless you, but he's going to get that enemy close up, just close enough to where they can see the blessing of God coming on your life. Because you know what? The blessing of the Lord and the calling of God, it comes without repentance. Let's read the second part of that verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God made that table in advance. He got it ready. What God has prepared for you, your enemies will be a witness to it. They're usually up close, and God wants your enemies to see it. God wants your enemies to see it. And then it says, here's a promise. You anoint my head with oil. Right here. Not God's peon. Not even God's pastors. Not his angels. God himself. God himself. Don't tell me or anybody else what a scumbag that you are, because see, the Word of God, it says differently. The Word calls you anointed. The Word of God calls you highly favored. The Word of God calls you victorious. The Word of God calls you healed. The Word of God calls you well able. The Word of God calls you every single thing that is good. See, the promises of God are yes and amen. So it says that God, you anoint my head with oil. You anointed it with oil. So before you want to go on and think bad about yourself just because you're having a little problem with your enemies, there is nothing that wears me out more, Johnny, than when I start having problems with my enemies. Because there's a part of me that wants to get gangster on them. I'm going to keep it real with you. There's a part of me who just wants to get in touch with that Italian side of my heritage and just do what I want to. Well, guess what? You want God's outcome, you're going to forfeit doing it how you want to do it. Because see, God ain't down with that. God ain't down with it. So we're anointed people. Then we're going to take it another step further. Now, I don't think this is enough water. Dwayne, get your water ready because we're going to use yours too. And it says that my cup, it will overflow. It will overflow. It will overflow. Stop thinking and telling God what you don't got. Stop telling Him what you don't have and start saying, God, you got it all, so Lord, therefore, I got it all. Stop telling Him what you don't got. All morning long, I've been in a struggle, Brother Larry, because I've been telling Him what I don't got. You know how many times I've gotten behind a pulpit and just preached out of a broken heart? That's toughing this girl up. And let me tell you something, Brenda babe, I ain't going to let it break me. I'm going to break it, amen, every bit of it. Amen. Don't tell God what you don't got, because, see, you got a cup that's overflowing. And if you feel like your cup ain't overflowing, you need to look at it again. You need to look at it again, because it's a promise in His Word. God, you anoint me, and therefore, God, my cup, it overflows. It doesn't have a choice. Amen? All right. These men are the most important men in my life, and I love both of them so much. Y'all can sit down. Verse 6. Here's another promise. Surely, it's a for sure thing. Surely goodness and love will follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 Go with me now to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43. I've learned that you can hang on every word. Every word. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now let me tell you something. The world will tell you a lot of things. The world will tell you a lot of things. I'm going to tell you this. Forget what you've heard. Forget it. Forget every bit of advice that the world has given you about your life. Here's the word, and it says, you've heard that you're supposed to hate your enemy. You won't find that in the word. But I tell you, who's telling us? God's telling us. But I tell you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. Pray for the people that did you wrong. I'm not going to lie, that's usually my last resort. We're going to just preach where we live. Barbara, when I don't like somebody, just flat out don't like them. What are we going to do about it? How many of you, when you just don't like somebody, you just don't like them? Am I in the room with perfect people, or are we all real? We all got people that we don't care for. Everybody's like, oh my God, our pastor is awful. Let me tell you something. I will keep it real. If everybody in the place leaves, we're going to still be real. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those that persecute you. Does it still matter to you what God has said? Does it still matter? Does it still matter what God said? We are living in a wishy-washy world where even believers are on the fence or on the wrong side of the fence about a lot of stuff. We've all got an appointment on Judgment Day, and we're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. And it says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And he gives us a reason. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. How many of you want to be called a son or a daughter of God? There's a requirement to be able to be called that. What is the requirement? Loving your enemy and praying for them when they're wrong to you. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 46, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Love them and pray for them. And that's a hard, hard thing to do. I'm not going to tell you to do anything easy today because I know it's not easy when you start talking about enemies. And praying those kindergarten prayers, well, Lord, just take them away. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to cut it. How many of you wish that would cut it? God, just take them enemies away. I mean, I don't know. Move them to Africa. Whatever you got to do, God. I mean, I'm not picky. Whatever you decide to do with them. No. He's not going to do that, unfortunately. What is he going to do? He's going to get them right up at your table. And he's going to anoint you. He's going to give you favor, and he's going to make your cup overflow right in front of them. And if they're a believer, guess what? You're going to be sitting at their table also, and he's going to do the same thing for them. Now, there's some other qualities that God would like us to have when it comes to our enemies. Go with me now to Proverbs chapter 25. We're going to look at verses 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. What does this really mean? If your enemy is in need and you can meet that need, meet the need. And if they're literally hungry, God wants you to literally feed them. I've gotten some very good practice at this over the past 5 years. And not even one time, as God is my witness, until about the last month. Now, I'm going to be very transparent with you. Why? So you can grow. I've never, until about a month ago, Carolyn, even be tempted to do anything other than just feed people. Now, hear me. But I have let, not God, me, I have let people get up under my skin too much. That I wanted to start qualifying who I'm going to feed and who I'm not. And that was something in the beginning that God said, you will not do that and have this food ministry be blessed. Because you will never find in His Word, when He gathered people up and He fed them, that He said, no, you can't come. Dad said to me a couple days ago, he said, I'm just ready to see that look get off your face. Me too. Me too. It's hard to cover up the wrinkles from all the irritation. I've been having to use something called primer. I ain't never had to use primer in my life. But it cost me $34 at Ulta. Jimmy, guess what it's for? $34. It's this big. And I put it on my face.
Upper wall.
No. You won't get very far with it. It's for my wrinkles, Adam, right under here, from all the stuff. And I'm getting a little older. I mean, I won't blame it entirely on the irritation. But I was sitting there. I'm going to really keep this real because you know what? I got nothing to prove to you. If I ain't proved it by now, then I don't know. You need to get on with your bad self. But I was standing out in the food line on Wednesday, okay? And something came over me, and it was not Jesus. I have a very protective personality. And all of y'all I consider family. And I know when somebody's messing with y'all, it ticks me off and I don't like it. Well, I had one of my volunteers working in the line. It's one of my favorites. They're all my favorites, I say that, but they're all my favorite in their own little way. And this car rolls up. And it's somebody that I love's enemy. And Penny, just the way I am, if I really love somebody, if it's their enemy, by golly, it's my enemy. I was raised with something called loyalty, which my generation knows almost nothing about. But let me tell you something. When I'm with you to the bitter end. And something came over me, and I wanted to tell this person how the cow ate the cabbage. And I asked God, God, can I get away with that? I mean, will you let me do it? Nope. And I was disappointed all day. I said, well, God, what am I supposed to do with them? I don't like them. They are being mean to da-da-da-da-da. And he goes, Kelly, just feed them. Just feed them. Frank, go get me a bottle of that orange juice. I'm glad you're laughing because there's probably been a lot of times this week where you cried, where you had a sad moment, where you had a discouraged moment. If you can come to church and just have a laugh, that's good for you. No, I'm not going to pour it, baby. I could have my own TV show about all the shenanigans I pull. I was telling God, this is just one of the things that we gave out this week. That's why I said get the orange juice. And I said, God, I don't like this person. I've worked my butt off in this food ministry, and I just don't think that I should have to give that person I don't like any food. And not because they're being mean to me. Look here, I can take when somebody's mean to me pretty good. But it's when the people are mean to the people that I love where I have an issue. Most of us, that's where we live. You can handle it being done to you a lot better than you can handle it being done to somebody that you care about. And I said, I just don't think that they should get any of this $8 orange juice. God. And he told me something, and he said, Kelly, you need to feed your enemy. Because I said in my word that that's what I had for you. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he's thirsty, well, darn it, there goes the orange juice. Give him water to drink. In doing this, there's a promise. But God began to tell me just how anointed that the orange juice was. God began to tell me just how anointed that everything in that box was. And he said, Kelly, you're sitting at your table. I've anointed you. I've called you. Your cup is overflowing whether you see it that way or not. And when they're going to sit at your table, they're going to see how blessed that you are. And one of the reasons you're blessed is because you'll do the word. If you will do the word, God will bless you. The orange juice is also anointed. Why? Because it's on my table. If this is coming off haughty, you need to check yourself because, see, you got your own table and you better be calling your orange juice anointed too because God says that it is. And it's very anointed when you decide to give it to your enemy. When you're going to bless those that have been awful to you. God said, well, Kelly, the orange juice is anointed. And every drop that they drink is anointed. You don't think God talks through food? You need to get in your word. So it says here in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21 and 22, if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And the Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What are we seeking after? His word. What are you telling us to do, God? When it concerns our enemies, He's telling you to be better to them than they've been to you. How many of you have had a fight inside of your head with your enemy this week? Okay. I rest my case. That's why we're preaching this. Go with me now to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. There's some things that God wants to talk to you about with your enemy. The first one is, God wants your enemy up close to you. They're at your table a lot of times. The second thing, forget what you've heard. Forget what the world would say. Oh, you can do that to them. They did it to you. No, you can't. See, you ain't going to get away with that. That's the difference between you and your enemy most of the time. Is they're going to get away with some stuff. It's going to look like they get away with it. Barbara, nobody gets away with anything. They don't. The third point, you know, when you feed your enemy, when you do good for your enemy, when you pray for your enemy, that makes you an unpredictable person because most people will not do that. See, your enemy is predicting what you're going to do. How many of you have ever had a situation and you've tried to think three or four steps ahead? Well, if I do this, then this, this, and this is going to happen. Or if I say this, then they're going to say this, and then I'm going to say this, and here we go. We're going to do that game. I don't want my enemies to be able to predict me. Why? Because I want them to see Jesus The world is predictable. If you're going to live like the world, you're going to die like the world. If you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. If you're going to live by God's word, you're going to do some things that you're not going to want to do. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. I think sometimes we get stuck in this game where we want to play tit for tat with people and we want to come at them the way that they've come at us in the exact same measure. Here's what you need to know about your enemy. God will not let them succeed. God will not let them succeed. Well, I've gone to God this month and I've said, you know, God, every time that my enemy does this, it's doing this. And I feel like I had some legitimate concerns. How much do you trust God? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, the Lord will not let them succeed. No weapon forged against you will prevail. Another translation says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. God never told you in His Word that there wouldn't be a weapon against you come up. You're going to have things come up. I all the time preach about the promises of God, the good promises, Jimmy. But today, I'm showing you some promises. God promises that in this life there will be trials and tribulation. He promises that. He warns you about it. Here's another one. No weapon formed against you will prosper. What is that really saying? You're going to have some weapons formed against you, but I'm not going to let them prosper. What does that tell us, Angel? There's going to be things that come at us. God promises us that. They won't win, but they'll come. They'll come. You know how many people get all bent out of shape every time that something bad comes their way or happens, and then they get mad at God and leave God? Well, let me tell you something. You will never win that way. Because, see, God already told you that problems would come up. He already told you that weapons would be formed. But He promises that they won't prosper. God won't let your enemy succeed over you. And He's probably not going to handle them the way you would handle them. How many of you on your worst day, you can say, the way I would handle my enemy on the worst day is probably not real godly. Me too. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Here's a big one. Bub, put this in the King James Version, Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, because most people are used to hearing it out of this King James Version. A lot of people, if you were raised in church, this is how you're used to hearing this. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. How many of you know that your enemies like to talk? They do. How many of you know that you also like to talk? We're going to tell the whole truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth here, okay? Our enemies like to talk smack, and so do we most of the time. I encourage you to start talking less of it, okay? Why? Because you're a winner, and there's no reason for you to just be stuck acting like a loser. Now, I know that's harsh. You're going to have to get over it. I'm going to talk to you bluntly today so we all get it. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. How many of you have ever heard something that your enemy said about you? I got people that are my enemies, and you know why? They've made themselves an enemy just because they don't like women. Oh, well. God has blessed this woman. And I ain't apologizing for it, and I give him all the credit. God will take care of your enemy in every way. Why is this important for us? You need to know how to handle your enemies. And you need to do it in the most godlike way that you possibly can. Because however you handle them, you're given an account for it. And not all of your enemies are heathens. And it really don't matter if they are or not. If you'll talk to God about your enemy, God will talk to your enemy about you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. So God is not going to let them succeed. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 17 through 21. How many of you ever bought something you put on a payment plan? So we all know what that's like. Here's a verse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. When you repay people evil for evil, you're on a payment plan that the devil orchestrated. You'll pay, and then you're going to get something coming at you, and then you'll pay some more, and then you'll get, see, how much of this tit for tat do we really want to do? It's very time consuming. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. And if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. There's going to be a time that you have with your enemies, and peace in the situation is going to depend on you. And the Word of God gives you a command in here, and it says, if it is possible and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Live at peace with them. Live at peace. God's calling people to a place of peace. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Dwayne, go over there and sit right between Janet and Dale. They're all happy. All right, Adam, get over here and sit by Miss Barbara. Barbara, raise your hand just in case Adam don't know who you are. Adam, I'm sorry if you're someone that's easily embarrassed. No, no, you got to sit on the row. You got to scoochie real good end up in here. We're giving you lots of illustrations today because I want to make sure that when you leave this building, you have a very clear understanding. I'm seeing who my next victim is. Tommy, you're it. Come here. I don't know what y'all are going to do, but you're about to have a problem. All right, Tommy, you got to sit on that row. But you can't sit on anybody's lap. Got to squeeze. Now, don't hurt anybody's hips or anything. Now, let's go back to the Word for just a minute. Y'all just get comfortable. Do not take revenge, my friends. Here's a very important place. But leave room. Bobby, come here. Come on, Bobby, be a good sport. I'm not asking Frank because he'll straight up make a scene. I know, I saved the best for last. Okay, Bobby. Can you sit here?
No, ma'am.
Why not?
There ain't enough room.
They didn't leave room for you, did they?
No.
So you can't sit there, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right. You can go sit down. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. So many people have come to this place in their life and they're asking God why God did not intervene when it came to their enemy. Here's why. Not y'all. Y'all are great. But here's why. Because people decided in their heart they were going to handle it and they did not leave room for God. You will leave God for room to deal with your enemies, or you will clutter it all up and there won't be any room for him to make a move for you. You're going to leave room for him or you're not. But do not get mad at him when you've left him no room to help you. There ain't one more person that can fit up in here, not even a kid, not even a little smidgy, skinny, scrawny person. There's no room. And a lot of times, there is no room in our situation for God to come in. We've done cluttered it all up with what we wanted to do and how we wanted to handle them and what we wanted to say and tit for tat. Look here, God will have the very last word, I promise you. Y'all can all go sit down unless you want to stay there and they were enjoying that, fellas. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written. He gives us a reason, and he says in his word why he wants you to give room and make room. Leave room. It is mine to avenge. I will repay. I will repay. Not I'm going to think about it. Not I may do it. Not if I wake up and everything's going good for me. No, God promises in his word and he tells you, leave room for me. Leave room for me when you're dealing with your enemies. Leave room for me when you're hurting. Leave room for me when you're making those big decisions. Because if you leave room for me, I'll come in right here. What is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says? Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any person will open that door and let me come in, I'll come in and I'll sup with them. What does that mean? I'll come in and I'll inhabit every part of that room that they're letting me in. If you let him in your whole life, he's coming into your whole life. But it's a promise. He wants you to leave room because it's his. What does he promise? I will repay. I will avenge. I don't know what your enemy's doing to you. I don't know what they've done to you. But I can promise you this, because any promise that the Word makes is a promise that I can make as a pastor. If you will leave room for God, God will avenge you and he'll do the repaying. But in order to have that, you can't. And if so, what it really boils down to is how much of God do you want in the situation and in the outcome? How much of him do you want in the last part of that? You wanted all God's outcome, you got to give him all the battle. Why? Because it's his. He owns the pew. I'm going to finish that up. It is mine to avenge and I will repay, says the Lord. And on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, here we are again, Feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil. What does this tell you? That evil can overcome you. Evil can overtake you. Evil can become so much a part of your life that that is who you are. But overcome evil with good. You're going to make the choice. Are you an overcomer? Or are you being overcome? My dad said for 30-something years, you're either going through something or you're becoming something. The Word says, overcome evil with good. It tells us, don't be overcome. Don't let it come in and take over you. The world's full of people, and they're all acting out of line, being ugly to each other, saying stuff. You know, the Word says, that in the last days, your enemies will be the members of your own household. That's how close that's going to hit home for people. God wants your enemies right at your table. He's anointed everything on the table. He's anointed your head. He's given you that cup. Your cup is going to overflow. Go with me now to Luke chapter 8, verse 17. So many times we get stuck in this train of thought, well, you don't know what my enemies have done to me. Well, you don't know what they said. Well, you don't know what they did. I don't have to know. And nobody else in your circle needs to know. Because there's one thing that I'm certain of. God knows. And there's nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden. I can say that to you because it's in the Word. Luke chapter 8, verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. When you feel like, and your feelings aren't facts, but they are a motivator for us a lot of times what we've done comes out of a feeling. And you got to watch those feelings because they will steer you in the wrong direction many, many times. That's why you don't make decisions out of an emotion, because it's usually the wrong one. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Stop feeling like your enemy's getting away with doing all that wrong to you. Why? God will bring it out into the open. Stop feeling like you've got to defend yourself every time you hear of somebody talking bad about you. God will defend you. He will vindicate you. He will repay. Choose that peace. Choose it. Choose the peace over the drama. You got to always have drama in your life. How many of you know people that they live with drama and they thrive on it? Don't be that person. Last place for me this morning, Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 12. The last point that I want to make to you about your enemy is you need to know who the real enemy is. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. What does this mean? Your struggle is not against and with the person. That's a big pill to swallow for people, because we want to blame the person because we don't like them. But the Word says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is absolutely not against flesh and blood. And then it tells us what it is against. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. The world that we are living in today is very dark. Do we all agree? When you are coming up against something inside of another person, you need to realize that if you could just scoochie that person out of the way, what you'd really have is a spirit. What you'd really have is a dark thing that's come up in there and made that person be driven to making your life so miserable. So when you want to hate somebody, let it be the devil that you hate, and drop to your knees and ask God to spare them for being so mean to you. What did Jesus say on the cross? Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. See, when's the last time we just hit our knees and we begin to beg God to forgive our enemy for what they've done to us? Some of us never. Johnny, I gave it a little try this week. It felt good. God wants to equip you to deal with your enemies better. Better than you ever have before. In closing, see, God says, I love God's Word. And I don't get bored with it, because there's always something in there that I haven't seen before. Fellas, I'm going to use the pink microphone. It says here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And then it begins in verse 13. And see, this is a hands-on ministry. If you think I've got to be behind the pulpit every service to be happy, I don't. And I'm not. I preach one-third of the messages that come from this church. Why? Because I'm not the only one that can do it. I'm just the one that God chose to do it. Alea, guess what? You get to close the service. Come up here with your daddy. Because I didn't know that this child could do this, and it was a very big inspiration. If you don't think that raising your children is important, boy, you're wrong. This little girl, she knows the Word because the Word has been put up into her. And she can do what I probably cannot do, and I'm 39 years old, and I've been in the Word all my life. But Dwayne, get her to do in that thing that you had her do the other day, the Word part of it. Oh, no, hold on. We're going to hear this, because, see, this Word is going to go out, and the moment that it begins to, the moment that you speak, and I want the music off, I want the microphone as loud as you can get it, because, see, I'm not a control freak. I mean, I am. But let me tell you something. Pastor told a small lie. I am to some degree. But the biggest, bestest part of my heart is that we are turning this church over day by day. Day by day. Why? Because you know what? I want to sit there, Dad, at some point in my life and just enjoy church. So, sweetie, I want you to get up there. Get up there, because you need to get used to being in the spotlight. And I suggest when you're in the spotlight, wear something sparkly. Just makes you feel better about everything. So here's the Word. And the Word says, if you can come to me as a child. See, God tells us to have childlike faith. And Alea, I believe that when you begin to speak, that word is going to stick with people all week long. Not because the pastor said it. Not even because you said it. They're going to remember it because you said it. But at the end of the day, God said it. God tells us to put on the full armor. So, sweetie, do exactly what your daddy taught you to do, but do it loud, do it slow, and do it proud.
Father in heaven, I put the full armor of God on. I put the helmet of salvation on. I put the chest of righteousness on. And I put the belt of truth on. I shod my feet the preparation of peace. I pick up my shield of faith. I fast from over my hip. I sharpen the one by my lips with the word of God. And the thing coming against me because of the child of God, Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Over God on. I put the helmet of salvation on. I put the chestplate of righteousness on. I put my belt of truth on. I shod my feet the preparation of peace. I pick up my shield of faith. I fast my sword on my hip. I sharpen the one by my lips with the word of God. And nothing comes against me because I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen.